Good morning, Emmanuel Baptist Church. You know, I'm always amazed when we get to hear a chance of just the reach that the Lord's work from this place has. One of my favorite stories, we heard Jeannie talk about the quilting ministry giving quilts to the pregnancy clinic down the street, and I didn't know that, but when I went there, I've seen so many of those Afghans that people give out at baptisms that I can recognize one of those right away. And I saw a stack of those things over there, and I just thought to myself, man, how far the reach of God's work goes from Emmanuel Baptist Church that I can walk into this place I've never been in before and see, ha, I recognize that. I don't know if you guys saw, but Capital High School this year actually won an award statewide for improving their graduation rate. And as a matter of fact, a record number of those students also went to this church, had to do with that. So the Educational Assistance Ministry had so much bigger job to do this time. And man, did they do it. I mean, I don't think we've ever had 18 applications for that, but they stepped up and made that happen. It is amazing to hear the reach of what the Lord's hand is doing through our hands and feet here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Let's say a prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here, thankful to be safe and dry when we know that some have not been this week. Thankful to be together with our friends and praying for those who are traveling this holiday weekend to see friends and family and take much needed vacation. Lord, let your word speak to us this morning. We want to know you. We want to know you better. We want to be more like you. And we know you've given us your word so that we can do that. Open it up to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to go to the book of 2 Corinthians. But before we turn there, let's think about something for a second. Think about a time when you were telling one of your friends about something you really wanted them to experience. You'd already experienced it, but you wanted them to experience it. So maybe it was a new song by your favorite artist, and it blew you away, and you go run into your buddy with your headphones or whatever it is, or with your CD or your record, and you say, "You have got to hear this." All right? Both my brothers went to Notre Dame. And you won't believe how many times people say, "Oh, there's nothing like going to a game in Notre Dame Stadium. You just have to be there." Now, my guess is, for each one of you, you're thinking of some other place that you feel that way about. So, maybe you've eaten at a restaurant, visited a coffee shop, something, you go there and immediately think, "I got to grab my friend and I got to bring him to this place." Or, if you grew up around here, or even grew up visiting around here, there's one that happens at a certain point of coming of age in West Virginia, and it happens to almost everybody, and it goes like this. "Man, Camden Park is all right, but you gotta see Cedar Point. Oh my goodness, it is so much better." Some of you probably remember that. So, in those scenarios, two things are coming together. We love something enough to want to share it, and we love someone enough that we want that person to be the one we share it with. All right, think about it that way. We love something enough that we want to share it, and then we love someone enough that we want that to be the person that we share it with. So this month we've been talking about the incarnation. That's an English word that comes from Latin, describing the Son of God coming in the flesh. Incarnation, that's where that comes from. To be our Lord and Savior. Christ came into the world to demonstrate what a perfect life looked like, to tangibly show the love of God, and to make a sacrifice for our sins through his death and resurrection. Last week, we looked at what Colossians 1 had to say about reconciliation. That Christ is the firstborn over all creation, so all creation belongs to him, but all creation is not in sync with him. Reconciliation is the process of things that were apart coming together. The cross exists for reconciliation. Things that are coming apart, coming together. And as we are reconciled to God, we also become reconciled to one another by imitating his sacrifice of reconciliation. That was last week. So this story ends at Revelation with a new heavens and a new earth. Everyone who came to Jesus is coming to be reconciled in one city that will be in harmony. The reconciliation there will be perfect. Everybody will be living and doing exactly the way they're supposed to live and do. The relationships will be right, and Christ will be there on his throne. He is reconciling the creation to himself. But we're not there yet. That's how the story ends for us, but we're not there yet. We are not perfectly reconciled to Jesus Christ. Not yet. We have been made so through his blood, But the process of sanctification in us is not yet complete. Similarly, we are not perfectly reconciled to one another. Not yet. The creation's not reconciled to Him. Not yet. And so today, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians, which also talks about this process of reconciliation and what role we play in it. When we love something enough to want to share it, and we love someone enough to want to share it with them, we, in a way, become a representative of that thing to someone else. That's what we're about to hear about. So, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:11 to 20, where Paul is clarifying what motivates him to do the work he does. So that's what he's doing. It's going to sound, in the beginning, like he's defending himself, and in a sense, that's what he's doing. So starting at verse 11, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart." And he's writing to the people in Corinth who he helped to bring to the Lord. "If we are out of our mind, as some say, it's for God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself in Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to a message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All right, that was complicated. Let's take a closer look. First part, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, I hope it's also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what's seen rather than what's in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you." All right, so Paul is starting out having to defend what his motivation is. He's trying to explain why he does what he does. It looks like, first of all, that some people have said he's crazy, he's out of his mind. Okay? And you can see how that might come about. Paul is saying that a guy came back from the dead, and because a guy came back from the dead, everybody can be reconciled to God. Paul is saying that all the gods that everybody's worshipped in the Roman Empire are not real and don't exist. Okay? If you're coming from the point of view of hearing that for the first time, one response might be, "You're crazy. You're out of your mind. Who talks like that? Back from the dead? Dead is dead. You don't come back from that." Other people say he's in his right mind, but that he's doing something that has selfish, worldly motives. Okay? So no. This guy knows exactly what he's doing, but he's doing it for some kind of worldly motive. As in, he just said, people who take pride in what is seen rather than what's in the heart. So, have you ever heard someone say they think Christians are totally out of their mind? Probably so. At some point in your life, who could possibly believe that? A virgin having a kid? All right, so Paul's getting some of that. And then, have you ever heard somebody say that Christians are coming from a place where they have some selfish motivation? They might say that churches are in it for the money. Some of them are. They might say that Christians are in it for some form of social control. They might say that Christians are somehow politically power hungry, that Christianity is a tool being used to make things politically a certain way. In certain parts of history, there were leaders who pretended to be Christian to do that. That's existed. They might say Christians are weak people who project their needs on a God that doesn't exist. All right, well, you just feel better thinking there's some pie in the sky thing going to help you. All right, but probably at some point in your life along the way, you've heard those things. Paul is running into those things, saying, there's some worldly motivation why you're doing this thing you're doing. And so where this passage comes from is trying to get people to understand, and here's the key, it's not anything in this world that makes me go to people with the message. It is representing something from a whole other world that I belong to that makes me go to people with this message. That's the essence of it. It's not anything in this world that sends us as ambassadors of Christ. It is our citizenship in another world that sends us as ambassadors of Christ. That's what Paul is trying to get across here. People are looking, what's your motive? What's the trick here? What are you getting out of this? Where does this come from? Come on, there's got to be a reason. And Paul is saying, the reason is beyond me. So if you keep looking for it in the world, you're not going to find it. All right, going on to verse 14 through 17. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. This is what all these people are saying. What are you getting out of this? But for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. You can already see in there a bunch of ways he's trying to say, no, it's not about what's in this world. It's about what's in the next world. No, it's not about what's in me. It's about what's in the one who died for me. Instead of a worldly motivation, it is the love of Christ that compels Paul and compels us to do what Paul does. We know the love of Jesus, and so we represent the love of Jesus to other people. Again, not representing a worldly self-interest. It's not part of the old creation that we're after here. It's the new creation that we're representing. Just as Jesus came into this world to bring us reconciliation. When we represent reconciliation to this world, we're representing the reality of the world to come. Verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And as he committed us, and he has committed us, to the message of reconciliation, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What does this boil down to? That people are looking at Paul as they often look at us and say, what's in this for you? What is it about this Christianity thing? What are you getting out of this? Or have you totally lost your mind? But this can't be for real. All right, what is this all about? And the answer boils down to one thing. This isn't about me. This isn't about representing an interest of mine. This isn't about what I get out of it from somebody else. This isn't about some worldly motivation. We want to change the world, yeah, but why? Because this is about God. Everybody who's looking for the answer to be something about us, the reason why we represent Christ, is looking in the wrong place. This isn't about me. This isn't about this world. This is about Christ. This is about his world. And that is what makes that word ambassador so key. What does an ambassador do? Comes from one country to represent that country to another. When the ambassador comes, it's not about them and their personal interests. It's about the people they came to represent. And it isn't about the country they're in. It's about the country that they came from. Reconciliation, as we defined last week, it's the process of bringing together into right relationship people or things that have been separated. Through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, God offered us the possibility to reconcile with him. He came as an ambassador of heaven. He came representing the interests of heaven, which included for us to return to him. And as we draw closer to Him, we draw closer to other people, imitating His sacrificial love. We reconcile with them. But once again, we're not there yet. We're not in that heavenly city. We're living here. Sometimes we ask, why do we got to live here? The Bible says the Lord is not slow as we understand slowness, but wants all men and women to come to Him. That's why we're still here. Why doesn't God just zoop you up into heaven the minute He reconciles with you so all the trouble can be over? Because He wants the ambassadors here to get more, as 1 Peter tells us. And because we're not there yet, we become ambassadors of a message of reconciliation. Flesh and blood incarnate representatives who have a message of reconciliation, a message of bringing back together what has been separate, a message that Christ's blood can rectify what the world can't rectify, a message that there's another way to live that we have seen by glimpsing the heavenly kingdom that we can now represent to other people. We represent God's country. We're ambassadors of the heavenly Jerusalem, where people live in right relationship with each other and with the Lord. To this world, to people who still need to come to the cross for that reconciliation. If you are a Christian, you are an ambassador of Christ. If you are a Christian, you are an ambassador of reconciliation. If you have been redeemed and hold the Holy Spirit in your heart, you are a flesh and blood representation of another way of life where relationships are right. And everywhere you go, and everything you do, and everything about the way you carry yourself, and everything about the choices that you make, now represent not your interests, but the interests of this heavenly kingdom where things are in right relationship to God. That's part of why people have such a trouble figuring us out. In 1 John, it says that sometimes people reject us because they've rejected the Father. If they don't understand God, they're not going to understand our motivation. They're going to be keeping looking around, going, what's in this for you? How does this work? What are you getting out of it? What could you possibly be motivated by to do this? And it isn't anything about us. It isn't anything about this world. We have been motivated by what we received from the heavenly kingdom. And we now represent that to other people. We aren't motivated by a crazy pie in the sky or some sense of money, power, recognition, self-interest. We are representing God, and we are motivated by love. Think back to Camden Park. We love something enough to want to share it, and we love people enough that we want them to be the ones we share it with. Those moments that you have had when you were so excited about something and cared enough about your friend, you say, you got to share this with me too. That's us as ambassadors in our Christian life. We know the heavenly kingdom. We know it's right. We know it's good. We know it's what we needed. We know it's the only way that we can spend eternity the right way. We know what we've received. We know it's motivated by love. And now we love other people enough that we are willing to joyfully represent that to them until we convince them also to be reconciled into this kingdom. As ambassadors of reconciliation, we practice forgiveness when the world wants to hold a grudge. We come to people who have known only a world that plays tit for tat, that fights like the Hatfields and the McCoys. And we represent a heavenly city created by a Savior who laid down His life so that others could be right with Him through forgiveness, who reached out to reconcile to those who had wronged Him even though He had done no wrong. We represent Jesus as people also willing to do the work and make the sacrifice so that forgiveness and reconciliation can happen. As Romans said, God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And when the world is still in sin, we make the sacrifice to be the ambassadors who represent something else to them. As ambassadors of reconciliation, we point people, again, it's not about us, to the one person who can bring it about, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We point people to the Son of God who became incarnate to make that sacrifice. It's not a philosophy, it's a person. It's not a solution, it's a heavenly kingdom. We point people to Jesus. We're His ambassadors, commissioned to bring this message. We are the ones who can look at a city with two high schools that loves to talk about South Hills this and West Side that. And you know what? We know there's history there. There's coal money and labor unions and how they built the highways and school boards and tax regulations. There's a history of why people talk about different parts of this city different ways. But we as Christians, we know the heavenly Jerusalem, and we can look at that and say, we know another way it can be, where everybody is in harmony. We are the ones as Christians who can represent something different from that. We are the ones who can look at a country that is still divided along racial lines and say, it doesn't have to be that way. We're the ones who have the tools to do something different, who have a different way of understanding what humanity is and how it works. Can that happen on its own? Of course not. Just look, do you think that there's going to be peace in the Middle East if enough ambassadors from one country or from another just talk to each other for long enough? Has that worked yet? Is that ever going to work? When you finally get peace, maybe between France and Germany in the 1700s, which probably happened for about 5 minutes, finally they sit down at the table with earthly ambassadors and say, how are we going to make this work together? Is that ever going to be permanent? No, it's not until the heavenly ambassadors show up and say, there's a whole different way of doing this, that any of that is ever going to be able to change. The earthly ambassadors aren't going to get it done because they're representing their own interests. The heavenly ambassadors are the ones that can get it done because they are not representing their own interests, but the interests of a reconciled heavenly city. We become ambassadors for Christ who care enough about people to introduce them to the Savior. Ambassadors for Christ who care enough about people to understand their stories and what has driven them apart. That's part of love, is hearing someone and understanding them. We can't bring about reconciliation by ignoring the past. We do it by engaging the past redemptively. Can you imagine if we said to Jesus, oh, that Adam and Eve and the apple thing, that was so long ago. Why bother to bring that up now? Of course not. Can we just move on? Of course that wouldn't have worked. Jesus engaged what we had done in the past redemptively so that our future could be different. Jesus represented forgiveness to us such that we could change from what had happened in the past. And as ambassadors of reconciliation, we love people enough to engage their story. We love people enough to find out what might have driven them away from the idea that a loving God might want them home. That's different for everybody. We engage people enough to find out what has driven them to the point where they think there might be people in this world that they can't love or can't be in line with. We engage what has happened redemptively so the future can be different. As ambassadors of reconciliation, we represent to the world a community that is actively pursuing oneness. We represent to the world a community that puts aside its petty judgments, a community that bases its entire life and communion on forgiveness, the forgiveness that we first received and brought us together, the forgiveness that sustains the love that makes possible the community that God wants for us, moving toward an existence where there's no Jew nor Greek, male nor female. There is room for everyone in Christ's world. And we represent to the world the idea that there can be room for everyone together. The world will never see that happen without Jesus Christ. No number of national, highly educated, skilled ambassadors in the world is ever going to make that happen without ambassadors from a heavenly kingdom that represent not their own interests, but the interests of the Lord. We aren't in the New Jerusalem yet, but God calls us to represent that idea, the idea of forgiveness, the idea of harmony, the idea of not holding the past against one another. He calls us to represent that to the rest of the world as ambassadors. We do that by loving Him enough to want to share Him and loving another people enough to want to share him with them. We do that by remembering to represent not our own interests, but the interests of the heavenly kingdom to which we now belong. Only then will the world see what can only happen through Jesus Christ. And today, as we come to the communion table, we are coming back to the moment where that all began. We are coming back to the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ that began the process of reconciliation so that we could be brought near to him and so that we could be brought near to one another. So we're going to invite our deacons up, and today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, the celebration of the sacrifice of the body and blood that first brought us to the Lord.